It had always been like this, even when we were kids. My $5 per week elementary school allowance had financed the bulk of his Sour Patch Kids and Pokemon cards addiction. Let me tell my mom I won't be home for dinner. I took out my phone, stepped into the magazine section, and quickly assured my mom that no, we weren't having fast food, and yes, I'd bought everything I needed. The conversation wasn't ending anytime soon, so I sat down on the bench and flicked through a copy of Rolling Stone someone had left, wishing she'd just learn how to text. Yeah, I got, like, loafers or something, with rubber bottoms. I remembered that part. I don't know, sort of red-brown? I sighed, wishing she'd lose interest. Mom, I said forcefully, everyone's waiting. I have to go. Yeah, I'll be home before 9. Okay. Okay, bye. Oh, shut up, I said when I got back to our table in the cafe. I didn't say anything. Toby grinned broadly. Your silence is judging me. That's probably true, Toby admitted. We walked across the parking lot to In-N-Out Burger, which doesn't technically count as fast food since you have to wait for it. Do you know about their secret menu? Toby asked Cassidy. Because you can order all sorts of things. Root beer floats, animal-style fries.
Obviously.
Cassidy rolled her eyes.
I have lived in California before.
No, really? Toby mocked. Well, do you know about the palm trees? I asked. Both of them stared at me. I grinned. There are 2 palm trees planted in an X outside of all the In-N-Outs, I said. It's from some old movie the owner liked because in the film a treasure was buried there.
That's terrible, Cassidy said. Pretending a fast food place is a buried treasure.
I don't know, I said. I think it's cool. Most people don't know about it, but when you do, you look for the X every time you drive past an In-N-Out.
Like IHOP, Toby said.
My cousins call it Dohai, since that's IHOP upside down. It gets in your head. You'll just see an upside-down Dohai sign next time you pass one. Trust me. Immediately, I thought of the hydrocarbon chains in organic chemistry. The same thing upside down, and how knowing to look for it changes your whole perspective. I almost mentioned it, since Cassidy would know what I was talking about, but I didn't. Not because they'd think I was weird or nerdy, but because the moment was so perfect that it just didn't need anything else.
Dude, Toby whispered as we took our order receipt. Did you know that Justin Wong worked here?
I shrugged.
Must pay well.
Justin was in my math class. He was a pretty forgettable guy, except for his car. This ridiculously souped-up Honda, the kind kids at school referred to as a rice rocket. We were filling our drinks from the soda machine when I first heard it. A familiar peal of laughter. My shoulders stiffened.
Oh, kill me.
Toby leaned against the soda machine, staring at them. Sure enough, Charlotte, Evan, and Jimmy were in the good corner booth, the big one by the windows, where we always used to sit when we came here.
Do you think we should just get it to go?
Toby muttered.
Go where?
I asked. There can never be burgers in my car, because then my car will smell like burgers, and trust me, that's a risk I'm not willing to take.
We could put them in the trunk,
Toby suggested desperately.
I'm not eating a burger that's been in anyone's trunk, Cassidy said.
We could eat them in the parking lot, Toby said. Because that isn't obvious. I rolled my eyes. They're sitting right by the window. We clustered around the ketchup pump, eyeing the table. They'd just gotten their food and clearly weren't planning to leave anytime soon. One of the In-N-Out employees, some kid from a different school, dropped off 3 more burgers and fries at their table.
Hey, Ezra?
Justin Wong called.
I had Angelo bring your food over to your table.
I stared at Justin, not comprehending, and then I realized those burgers were ours.
Awesome, I said hollowly. Thanks.
Shit stickers,
Toby swore softly.
Well, come on.
I said it as though we were standing outside of the funeral service and might as well go in.
Oh, good. You mean I get to hang out with your old friends?
Cassidy grinned hugely.
Be nice, I warned.
You'd think I brushed my teeth and sharpened my tongue every morning the way he goes on,
Cassidy complained.
More like brushed your teeth and dulled your wit,
said Toby. It was Evan who spotted us first, his surfer's baritone carried across the restaurant as he raised his soft drink in the air like some sort of toast and called,
"Yo, Faulkner, get your gimp ass over here."
"Hey," I said sheepishly as we shuffled toward the table. "What's going on?"
"Just chilling," Evan said.
Jimmy nodded enthusiastically. He was eating a 4x4 animal style, a gooey, thick stack of meat patties oozing sauce. There was another identical burger on his tray, because apparently one wasn't enough. He took a bite, and it reminded me of this video I'd seen on YouTube of a mountain lion devouring a gazelle.
"So, funny story," I said, "but Justin sent our food over to your table."
"Who?" Charlotte asked blankly.
"Justin," I repeated. "The guy behind the counter? He's in our year at school."
I couldn't figure out why she didn't know who I meant, and then I realized that Charlotte had always done this, pretended not to know which classmate you were talking about, as though she was above remembering certain people.
"Oh," Charlotte frowned, disinterested. "Well, whatever. You're here now, so join us."
"Yeah, dude, plenty of room. Pop a squat," Evan said.
We hadn't discussed it, but I knew the plan was to get our food and calculate the physics of which table was the farthest from this booth, that table being the optimal place to enjoy our dinner. But I couldn't exactly refuse, not after the way I'd blown everyone off without explanation ever since school started.
"Sounds good," I said with a shrug, sliding into the booth.
I could feel Cassidy's hand on my sleeve, as though she wanted me to know that she'd slide in first so I could take the end, but I gritted my teeth and scooted along the pleather seat, not wanting my old friends to see how useless I was.
"Where's Jill?"
I asked, unwrapping my food. I dumped half of the fries onto my tray and wordlessly passed Cassidy the little paper container, since we were sharing. Charlotte watched me split the container of fries as though it meant something significant.
"She's stuck doing some student government crap I don't even know, but it'll give us a chance to know your new friend."
Charlotte's smile dripped venom as she stirred the straw in her milkshake. We all bit into our burgers. Three tables away, a kid too big for his high chair screamed for dessert while his parents calmly ate their food, ignoring him.
"Faulkner, you didn't come to my party,"
Jimmy accused.
"Yeah, sorry, how was it?"
"Connor McCleary showed up wasted and tossed the keg into the pool,"
Jimmy shrugged philosophically.
"And my bitch-ass neighbor called the cops. We had to pretend it was a church barbecue."
"That actually worked?" Toby asked, floored.
"No."
Jimmy took another bite of his burger.
"So, Cassie,"
Charlotte said brightly,
"where did you move here from again? Chino? Compton?"
Cassidy smiled at the insult, as though she found Charlotte extremely funny.
"San Francisco," Cassidy said. "But I've lived all over the world, really. London, Zurich, even down in Louisiana for a couple of years."
"Oh." Charlotte's face fell as she considered this.
"I've always wanted to visit Europe." "Well, where does your class trip go?"
Cassidy wanted to know. We all looked at her blankly.
"You don't have those?"
Cassidy asked, disbelieving.
"Seniors don't go to Spain or somewhere to traipse through museums and churches for a week?"
I started laughing. "We go to Six Flags."
"Good thing it's not Disneyland,"
Charlotte said sweetly, with a glance in Toby's direction. At this, Evan burst out laughing.
"Babe," he spluttered, trying to get it under control. "You're pure evil."
"Whatever, you love it,"
Charlotte retorted, touching her index finger to the tip of his nose. It was so adorable that I almost threw up all over my adorable pile of fries.
"So has everyone studied for Mr. Anthony's quiz?"
I asked, hurriedly changing the subject without thinking.
"What quiz?"
Jimmy asked nervously.
"AP Euro,"
Cassidy said.
"Dude, none of us are in AP,"
Evan chuckled, cramming a fistful of fries into his mouth.
"It's senior year,"
said Jimmy.
"I've only got 5 classes, counting tennis."
"Counting tennis, that takes balls,"
Toby muttered. Cassidy snorted, and I tried not to. Evan reached over and snagged a handful of fries off Charlotte's plate. She fake-pouted and slapped at his hand as he crammed them into his mouth, laughing. I'm hungry, Evan said by way of apology. Rocked it hard at practice this afternoon.
Hell yeah,
Jimmy affirmed. They bumped greasy fists over the napkin dispenser. Toby winced.
So, Ezra, Charlotte said, how come you're not sitting with us at lunch anymore?
All eyes were on me. I shrugged and took a pull of my drink, stalling. The family with the screaming kid left their trays and trash at the table as they got up.
It's, well...
I trailed off, unsure of how to answer.
Did she honestly want me to say it out loud? That it felt wrong for me to go back? Like they only wanted me around out of some sense of residual pity? That they'd been lousy friends when I was in the hospital? That she'd cheated on me the night of the accident, and that, just a little bit, I blamed her for what had happened? That, if it came to it, I'd rather eat lunch on a cot in the nurse's office than bear daily witness to Charlotte sitting on Evan's lap? Thankfully, Toby came to my rescue.
Faulkner's on the debate team now.
They all burst out laughing, as though Toby had claimed I joined forces with the kids who brought their laptops and headsets to school to play World of Warcraft during lunch.
Dude, for real?
Evan asked.
Sure, I said. Why not?
Can we talk?
Charlotte batted her eyelashes, her smile curving dangerously. Unasked, Cassidy and Toby got up so I could extract myself from the booth. In thick, awkward silence, I followed Charlotte over to the condiment bar. We hadn't talked, not since Jonas Biedecker's pre-prom party, when she'd run after me insisting I'd better not back out of prom. And there was so much to say, and to avoid saying, that I didn't know where to begin. But Charlotte clearly did.
What is up with you?
She demanded.
You're hanging out with Toby Ellicott and joining the debate team?
Charlotte was still in her song squad skirt, ribbons tied around her ponytail, a little blue paw print painted on her cheek, but her expression was far from cheerful.
Well?
She asked, waiting for an explanation. But the thing was, by my reckoning, I didn't owe her one. Not for something as trivial as whom I chose to eat lunch with. So, you and Evan? I countered. Awesome. You'll have my vote for homecoming court.
Oh, please,
Charlotte protested, a little too vehemently.
That's not why we're together.
Of course not. I held back a smile, noting how my comment had infuriated her.
This is ridiculous, Charlotte said. You should come back to our lunch table. It's not your place to sit with those losers. Bring your snotty prep school girlfriend, even. I don't care.
They're not losers, and Cassidy and I are just friends.
Yeah,
Charlotte laughed.
Because so many girls see you and think, now that's a guy I'd like to be just friends with.
What are you talking about? I was fairly certain that most girls saw me and thought, that's the kid who almost died at Jonas's party. Used to be a star athlete, but he's, like, crippled now. Isn't it so sad? I raised an eyebrow, waiting for Charlotte to voice the truth of what everyone wasn't saying. Instead, she sighed and swished her skirt, as though I exasperated her. It was a move I recognized from the halcyon days of junior year, when we'd just started dating.
Oh my God, Ezra, get a clue. You're all brooding and depressed now, and don't even ask me why, but dark, deep, and twisty totally works for you. You could have anyone you want, so ditch the social outcasts and stop sulking over your sprained knee.
My sprained knee. Right. I didn't even know what to say to that, so I did what I always did around Charlotte, around all of my old friends, really. I shrugged and said nothing.
Listen,
she said, stepping closer and pouting cutely.
I'm having a party next Friday. You're coming, right?
Now I was sure she was flirting, but the thing was, I wanted no part of it. Actually, I'm not. I'm busy.
Doing what?
Debate tournament, I said, enjoying myself. All weekend, unfortunately, out of town.
You're not serious.
I leaned in, closing the distance between us and knowing that I would get away with whatever I said next. I'm as serious as a car crash. I gave her my most winning smile before heading back to the table. As we walked back to my car, I turned around only once. The sun was setting, and the lights strung between the palm trees and the parking lot had just come on. But even in the purpling night, with the glow of hundreds of tiny lights reflected against the in-and-out window,
I could see them sitting there in the large corner booth, the one they'd taken for just the three of them. Their food was finished, but they hoarded the best table in the place, as though it was theirs as long as they wanted it. Not so long ago, I would have been there with them, inhaling a double-double after tennis practice, dipping my fries into my milkshake just to make Charlotte squeal in disgust. I would have laughed at Evan and Jimmy's antics, because we all knew they were only doing it to see how long until I made them stop. "We're gonna get kicked out," I'd warned, shaking my head. "They'll take a mugshot of us in those stupid paper hats and hang it on the wall to shame us." And eventually, when Justin Wong came over to pointedly clear our trays, I would have shot him an apologetic look when the others weren't watching, knowing that we'd been wrong but had gotten away with it anyway.
"Well," Cassidy said, climbing into the front seat, "that was exquisitely unpleasant. Welcome to the O.C., bitch,"
Toby offered. "Let's just go." I put on some music, not wanting to talk about it. Arcade Fire was on the local college station, crooning about growing up in the suburbs. I concentrated on the lyrics until I turned back onto Princeton Boulevard.
"Tumbleweed," Toby noted. 50 points if you hit it.
"In Soviet Russia," I said, doing a terrible accent, "tumbleweeds hit you."
"There are no tumbleweeds in Soviet Russia," Cassidy put in. "But speaking of the KGB, what was up with your ex-girlfriend?"
I laughed hollowly.
"She informed me that I'm upsetting the status quo, and also that she's having a party next Friday." "So are we," Toby said, "and I can guarantee you ours is going to be far better and far more exclusive."
"It will," Cassidy assured me. "You've yet to experience the undiluted awesome that is a hotel room party."
"My single regret in life," I replied.
"I don't know," Toby mused. "That mullet you had in sixth grade was pretty bad."
Cassidy laughed.
"He's lying," I said. "It's physically impossible for my hair to mullet."
"Since when is mullet a verb?" Toby grinned.
"Since you started lying about my having one," I said, turning into the school lot. It was just starting to fill up with cars for that night's football game.
"I'll drive Cassidy home," Toby said, digging for his keys.
"I'm fine," Cassidy protested. "I don't know why you're all so afraid of coyotes."
"I'm not," Toby said. "I'm afraid Faulkner's going to offer to put your bike in his trunk again, and we all know he'll kill himself lifting it."
"You're an asshole," I informed him.
"At least I didn't have a mullet in the sixth grade."
14. Cassidy and I never told anyone where we'd gone during Teacher Development Day. We hadn't sworn to keep it a secret or anything, but it felt strangely private, tangled in the things I'd confessed, and in the brief moment when she'd pressed her lips against my cheek. Somehow, though, Toby could sense that something had passed between us, and he was less than thrilled about it.
"That's why I drove her home," he explained in the lunch line on Friday. She's not what you think. She's unpredictable."
"Then stop trying to predict that she'll wreck me," I replied, paying the lunch lady for my sandwich. "What's this about, anyway? How well do you even know each other?"
"Biblically, Faulkner. We know each other biblically."
"Yeah, I'm sure."
"Well, our teams hung out sometimes. We invited each other when we had room parties," Toby said. "And there are these little flirtations that happen. Debate cest, or whatever you want to call it. She'd act like she couldn't get enough of someone for about a day, and then she'd lose interest completely. She leaves a trail of broken hearts, and she either doesn't realize or doesn't care."
I took my change from the lunch lady.
"That's the problem? Remind me never to tell you what goes on at tennis camp," I said, grabbing some napkins.
"I'd make a dropping the soap joke, but I sense that the lunch ladies won't appreciate it."
Toby picked up a styrofoam container of General Chicken and gave it a dubious sniff before handing over some crumpled dollar bills.
"There's something different about Cassidy this year, and I don't know what's changed, but I have a bad feeling about it. Now, what do you think? Is this chicken in general or some specific type of chicken they've neglected to identify?"
"It looks disgusting."
"Obviously, but does its disgustingness remind you of anything?"
Toby pressed hopefully.
"General Tso's chicken, perhaps?"
I glanced at it again.
"It's generally disgusting chicken," I informed him.
Toby regarded it sadly.
I think you're right.